There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the hour. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again. Thankfully for all of us, Stamps.com eases the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for small businesses. But Stamps.com is completely online. They bring all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, that's us, or an online seller shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle all that with ease. With Stamps.com, you'll get discounted postage rates you can't even find at the post office. They're a no-brainer. They save you time, they save you money, and it's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. So right now, you can get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment by going to Stamps.com. When you're there, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage and type in Sean, spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N, Sean. It's Stamps.com. When you see that microphone, click that and enter code Sean and get that four-week trial. All right, this is a conversation I've been talking about throughout the week and excited to talk about it and get, instead of me just going, well, I think, or well, it might be, or here's something I hear, it's good to get some actual facts on. And William Bryant joining us from the Mobile Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to get you in here. And there's the questions I'm going to ask are probably questions that a lot of families in our area have hearing the news about the Chapter 11 bankruptcy. You know, people were saying, okay, bankruptcy's been declared. Walk us through it. The press, like, what actually has happened this week?
Yes. So, National Office of the BSA filed for Chapter 11 financial restructuring filing. What that means, Chapter 11 refers to a chapter of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code that specifies a process for nonprofit as well as for-profit organizations to address their financial challenges while continuing operation. This is exactly what the Boy Scouts of America is doing. Let's be clear, this is a filing by the National Boy Scouts of America. Our local council, Mobile Area Council, is a separate entity of the National BSA, and we have our own 501(c). All okay. The funds that are raised through the Boy Scouts of America for Mobile stays in Mobile. So when we have our Friends of Scouting annual campaign, when we have our golf tournament, that's the 35th anniversary this year, when we have our Sporting Clays event and our upcoming Run of the Century and the Camp Out of the Century on April 4th, all of those funds raised stays in the Mobile Area Council.
Okay, so this is, if we talk about the structure of Boy Scouts of America, the national, it's not... I'm going to use a term and may be wrong, but is it that like a Mobile Area Council is a franchise of BSA National? Because it's not the same, but it has the branding.
Yes, it has the branding, but we are a separate entity of the National BSA. So we have over 250 councils across the country.
Okay.
And every council have to pay a charter fee.
Okay.
Every year. And so when you pay your registration, that registration fee goes to the national office. It don't stay within the council.
Okay.
So how the local council receive its money is through basically three ways. One, through the annual campaign, special events, and also some grants. And then also, you know, the Girl Scouts sell cookies. We sell popcorn.
Yes.
And so that's our product sale.
Do we
sell.
Ever,
so we sell.
Joel.
And actually, Sean, I brought you some. I know you in 147. And,
yes.
But I did bring you some popcorn for the staff today as well.
Good, because the stuff I had brought in from my son's sales, it's all gone.
Okay.
So we're ready to get. So that money comes in, and so what will happen with, first of all, the National BSA and the Chapter 11? Will this be something that, again, it's hard for me to understand because I think about bankruptcy and I think about for-profits or, in a 501c3 or a not-for-profit, if it's bankrupt, does it dissolve? Does it get broken up? What could happen to BSA?
No, so why did the BSA initiate this financial restructuring? They took this action to address the increasing financial pressures the BSA is facing from litigation involving past abuse and scouting. The BSA believes we have a social and moral responsibility to adequately compensate victims. We also have a duty to carry out our mission to serve youth, families, and local communities through our program. This process enables us to do both. Once again, only the national organization is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. All local councils, including Mobile Area Council, which provide programming, financial stability, facilities, administrative support to scouting units in their communities, are not part of the scouting. Local councils, such as the Mobile Area Council, are legally separate, distant, and financially independent from the national organization.
All right. So that's good news for those of us. It's bad news for the national, obviously, but good news for us locally. So, and if you're just joining us, talking to Scout Executive CEO of Mobile Area Chapter, William Bryant, so from the trailers we have to carry camping gear to places to a place like Camp Mobilla, none of those things are at risk.
No, sir.
They're not going away. No. They're not going to.
No, sir. We are a very rich council as far as in rich as in volunteers and youth. We have, last year we ended the year with 2,746 youth and over 120 units. We cover the counties of Washington, Mobile, Clark, and Baldwin. Not only that, this year we're celebrating 100 years of scouting in this area. You know, scouting was founded in 1919 in the Mobile Area Council by the Chamber of Commerce, and it was chartered in 1920. So think about over the years of all the great scouts, all the great volunteers, leaders that have come through Mobile Area Council, and we're happy and proud to be here for 100 years. And we want everyone to come out and celebrate on April 4th, our Camp Out of the Century and our Run the Century at the USS Battleship. So if you haven't thought about coming to celebrate with us, please do. It's going to be a great fun, and we're going to be here for 100 years more. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows that we are a separate entity of the National BSA, but we are a part of the BSA, but we have our own 501c3. All our Friends of Scouting annual campaign gifts stays in Mobile Area Council. All our popcorn sales that the scouts sell every year goes back to their units. So make sure that
so none of that money, you had said that to me in the email the other day, that was what the money we raise through the annual campaign when we write a check to the council or in these things, there's not any of that going back up that would be back up into a bankruptcy proceeding or anything
no,
like
sir.
That?
No, sir. We have a budget for the Mobile Area Council that we have to meet.
Okay.
And as far as programs, keep Camp Mobilla open, keep the our volunteer service center, customer service, and things of that nature. So we have a lot going on here.
Sure.
And that we can't afford to send money up to national.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. There's a lot of us, though, that didn't know how that all worked.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
All right. We're coming right back. We'll talk about this and take some more questions. I do want to talk about all the different cool events like Camp Out of the Century coming up. And also, you mentioned some numbers here. And I want to get into that because that's one of the things we worry about is where the recruiting is. How's the recruiting looking for scouting? You hear stories from around the country. What does it mean here at home? We'll have that discussion with William Bryant right here on Midday Mobile. He's with the Mobile Area Chapter. Our phone number, our text line, 343-0106. Coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 6:30 tonight. Get started with some, well, dope. There hasn't been since last night with the Stripers. No break from now through Fat Tuesday, but a big weekend. Big weekend downtown. By tomorrow, actually, all over Mobile and Baldwin counties, parades everywhere. We're going to be in the floral parade tomorrow with the folks from St. Jude's and the Joy of Life and the King and Queen of the St. Jude's Ball. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. Give us a wave. We've got I stood in line at a unnamed, currently unnamed Mardi Gras store in between my two shows today, in a line that doubled back on itself. In other words, the line started at the front of the store, and you had to go to the back of the store and come back up the front. Y'all get out and get the throws tomorrow. If I stood in that line and was a patient man, the least you can do is come out and catch those tomorrow. Give us a wave at the floral parade tomorrow in downtown. All right, continue our conversation with William Bryant from the Mobile Area Chapter of the Boy Scouts of America. But this is an important, what we talked about in the first segment. While it is Boy Scouts, it's BSA, it's its own 501c3. That's the way we understand it?
Yes, sir. That's very correct.
The money we give to the Mobile Area Council, the fundraising that's done, the Camp Mobilas, and this is all belongs to the Mobile Area Council, not the National.
Correct. The camperships, that corporate donations we receive, you know, we receive donations for a campership. We have over 636 young people that are supported by our outreach program in our council. So without camperships, without sponsorships for those young people, would not be able to go to summer camp, day camp, have uniforms and things like that. So we're very prideful on the funds that we receive for the Mobile Area Council, because we know it's all local fundraising stays in our local community.
Yeah, it's one of the things I love about it when it's a fundraising time for the Mobile Area Council, is that you have stats like that. We know that it takes X to put a scout at Mobile, right, to go to camp. And then, you know, you can go, okay, I'm donating this, and there's going to be three or four, whatever the number is you make. Those kids are going to get to go to camp. Local kids. You know, there's not going to be, you know, off in some nether regions and recarpeting an office somewhere. This is going to put kids right here getting to go to camp.
Exactly. And one of the things about that is also, when we know of the donors that support kids going to summer camp, we have the kids that benefits from that. We have them write a thank you card.
Yeah.
And so when we send that letter back to the donor, that handwritten thank you card goes so far from a kid that without your funds could not experience this. We know if a youth go to summer camp one time, he's going to stay in scouting, or she's going to stay in scouting for at least 3 years.
So that's a metric that y'all have?
That's a metric that we have. You stay in scouting. If you go to summer camp 1 year, you're going to stay in scouting for at least 3 years. Now, you're going to have a great scout, a great experience at summer camp, in which we know at Camp Mobile you will.
Yes.
However, that's factual.
That's great.
If one scout goes to summer camp, they're more apt to stay in scouting for 3 years instead of quitting after a year.
You know, William, you rolled out numbers there for the number of scouts within the Mobile Area Council. It was how many?
2,747 that we ended 2019 with.
So that sounds to me like a lot of scouts. I don't know how to compare it, because you hear the national discussion that scouting's in a downturn. It's a trend down, and there's fewer and fewer scouts, but it sounds like it's doing okay here.
Yeah, we give every young person the opportunity to be involved in scouting every year in the fall. The month of late July, August, and September, we go to every elementary school in the four counties that we serve and do a school night for scouting. And we give parents, we give aunts, uncles, grandmothers, chaperones, whoever's over there, that particular youth, an opportunity to sign your child up to be a scout. And if there's a issue with the registration calls, we say don't let registration fee discourage you from signing up, because we will find someone and find funds to pay for that child to be in scouting.
It's one thing that you and I talked about during the break, and I even talked about it, that people say, listen, I can't get my kids into scouting because of their other extracurricular activities. It's sports, it's whatever. But you're saying that
that's the beauty about scouting. You can play sports and also be a scout. You know, I have seen where you have football players and baseball players that are scouts. They after practice they came to the troop meeting or pack meeting in their uniform. They just practicing.
Oh yeah,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
But the leaders, because you know that you know scout. You know, kids are in so much. I mean, sometimes my godson, he has a schedule that his parents go by. He's played
his itinerary,
golf,
yes,
baseball, football, basketball,
right,
and all of that, but still in scouting as well. So some things you have to make sure that if you want your youth to have a positive experience, if you want your youth to just be a well-rounded young person. They can do it all. It just you have to make sure that you have the time to do it as well. But don't say you have to choose between sports and scouting because you can do both.
Okay.
And we would never have anyone to say you have to choose scouting over sports. No, you can do both.
You know, one of the things I think is neat about scouting, and this is the way I make a pitch for scouting, that they'll say, well, my child's interested in this or they're interested in that. I guess scouting has something for that. It's, you know, and not to take away from sports, but, you know, you're playing football, you're 100% playing football. Mm-hmm. Playing baseball, 100% playing baseball, whatever it is. In scouts, there's, I mean, everything from riflery to canoeing to electronics and computer programming to, you know, like my son and I even split on the things he's more tech-oriented than I ever wanted. I ever was. I just wanted to hike and camp and canoe. He liked these, but there's like, you can make the pitch that there's something for, really, I know it sounds cliche, but there's something for every kid.
It's something for every kid. Great thing about scouting that we preach the, and we teach the patrol method. You know, and that's older scouts teaching the younger scouts.
Mm-hmm.
So when you cross that bridge over from a Weeblo to a scout, you're welcomed in by the scouts of the troop. And you are in a patrol, and you have a patrol leader, and that patrol leader are teaching the way that you're supposed to learn you the skills. Because we know that kids learn from other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the leader is there, but the patrol
boring.
Leaders,
yes.
The young people that we, I mean, they are the best and brightest that we have. And if you see a scout, you know that person is a scout.
Yeah, that is for sure. All right, let's talk about this before we run out of time. Once again, fundraising, you got the camp out coming up.
Yes. Yes, so the Camp Out of the Century is Saturday, April 4th, 2020. We have a 5K. It's going to be the USS Battleship. You can sign up at runsignup.com /race/AL/mobile. And also, you can go to our website, bsamac.org, to sign up as well for the Camp Out of the Century. This year, we are expecting over 500 people to be in attendance as far as runners and scouts and just visitors as well. This is just not a Camp Out of the Century or a Run of the Century just for scouts and scout volunteers. It's for everyone. It's for all the community. So if you live in the Mobile, Baldwin, Washington, and Clark area, counties area, please come out April 4th and witness our 100-year celebration.
All right, and if people want to do what we're talking about, raise money for Mobile Area Council, staying here, whether they want to specifically sponsor kids going to Mobile or whatever else, how do they get in touch
with you? If you also want to donate, go to bsamac.org. Right when you click on the website, you will have the an icon say Give Now. And once you and give now, you can fill out everything right there. You can specify you want to go to camperships, overall. If you want to give to our endowment, you can as well. But that's where you go, to bsamac.org and give now.
All right. So once again, you're hearing it here from the person who knows best, the executive with the Mobile Area Council, William Bryant, that what you've heard this week is true about the national, but that does not affect the funds here or the scouting here in the Mobile Area Council, right?
That's correct.
So if we got a den meeting or pack meeting or something coming up, go.
If you have a den meeting or pack meeting, please go.
You camp out. Everything's
out. Please go. You know, Pinewood Derby. Sean just told me his son won first place in the Pinewood Derby, the Pack 147, which is great. And the District Pinewood Derby for Baldwin County District is April 11th in Daphne. So, you know, come out and celebrate. We will also have a sign-up booth. If you want to get your son or daughter involved in scouting, you can sign up as well.
And if y'all ever have questions, I'll put you through to William or anybody else with the Mobile Area Council, or I'll get the information to you myself. Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right. And coming right back, get ready to wrap it up. A couple things we'll do on today's show and get you ready for the weekend. Reminder with the Mardi Gras, Moon Pie Minute, all that stuff on our website. If you go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link for Moon Pie Minute, you'll get all the past Moon Pie Minutes. They're waiting for you there. In addition to that, you can get parade schedules tonight, tomorrow, the whole way through Fat Tuesday. That information's on there as well. Plus, three big things, top news stories of the day. One of those news stories is a new poll out that shows a new leader in the AL1 Republican primary, at least from the previous poll that had Bill Hightower at top. Another name now on the top of that list, and we'll talk about it when we return right here after news and weather on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 136 FM Talk 1065, Midday Mobile on this Friday, this deep gras, as I call it. Mardi Gras weekend ahead. Matt, this is good stuff. Get ready for tonight, 6:30. The parade rolls in downtown, 6:45 in Fairhope. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Also, I want to say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's good and good. And talk to me about this. Talk to me about gold and silver prices. We talked about that on Wednesday. But, okay, we'll go through kind of telling us about where the prices are. But also tell us about getting good information on this. People are always talking about precious metal this, precious metal that, like we all have some kind of understanding, which I can tell you, until I met you, I didn't.
Well, the thing that's scary is you listen to some of these doom and gloom tactics that are out there, and whenever gold and silver prices start to climb, people start paying a little more attention, and then you get inundated with these ads out there that when gold hits $20,000 an ounce, or when silver hits $100 an ounce, you're going to have missed out. And that couldn't be further from the case. I mean, you can come into the shop right now and buy an ounce of gold, buy an ounce of silver. We're going to talk to you about what those metals are, what all this commodity pricing, spot pricing, over spot pricing, what all of those things mean. And you can stand there and talk to us and have a conversation. And when you understand what you're buying and you're ready to buy, that's when you get to buy. I'm not going to be shoving things down your throat, scaring you and forcing you to do something. Neither am I. None of us will at the shop.
Yeah, there's no... Okay, if y'all have not ever been to Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, first of all, we're going to remedy that. But second of all, there's no high pressure. Like, if you come in to talk to Angelo about gold and silver, he just gives you information and then says, there you go. And then you can say, yeah, I want some, or no, I'll see y'all later. I mean, that's pretty much how it goes.
That's exactly how it goes. And if somebody wants to ask questions like, well, Angelo, what are you buying? Or what's in your stuff? You know, I'm happy to share that with you. So I'll tell you what it is I'm buying, what I'm not buying, and the reasons behind that. If you have a different set of reasons, there might be other products that are more suited to you. We'll help you figure that out.
All right. Do this. Tell us how to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown. We're well away from all the Mardi Gras stuff, so don't worry about that. We're at 2204 Government Street. You can find us online at mobilebaycoins.com, or you can check us out on social media. And, yes, we will be closed for Mardi Gras Day next week.
All right, Angelo, we'll see you over the weekend and talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan.
See all right. Right. Yeah, see you then. It's Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's talk about if you heard some rumor about what happened with Dolphin Island and didn't catch the beginning of the show. At noon, Mayor of Dolphin Island, Jeff Collier, joined us to talk about the issue with the bridge this morning. So I was getting calls both ways today from friends of mine that live on Dolphin Island. Some of my friends were on the island and needed to come to Mobile and couldn't. And I had friends that had come off the island early this morning, were trying to get back on the island, who couldn't. So right now, traffic is open back north and southbound on and off of Dolphin Island. So you're good to go. What happened, and the description here is given to us by Mayor Collier, because we heard that there was a bridge. I mean, there was a barge that had hit the bridge that had a crane on it. But that barge wasn't attached to a push boat. That's what a lot of us were trying to figure out early on this morning with this story, is how this happened. Well, in the description that the Mayor Collier said, that the barge with the crane on it, it came from somewhere to the north. It was not being pushed. It was not in the ICW, Intercoastal Waterway. Like some of us were trying to figure out how there was any kind of, before we saw pictures, how there was any kind of concrete damage possible, because buffering, where you go underneath the Dauphin Island Bridge, if you're in the Intercoastal Waterway, there are wooden bulkhead bumpers that protect the concrete. We're trying to figure that out. Well, it's because that barge was not attached to a push boat. It had come loose from mooring somewhere north of Dauphin Island, north of Alabama Port, up the bay somewhere. And with the heavy duty, I mean, you walked outside this morning, you felt it, the wind blowing overnight, and this morning, really, really strong north wind blew the barge down until the barge, ghost barge. How about that? Can we call it, Dalton, can we put that on the headline? See if TV, a ghost barge hits Dauphin Island Bridge. So the barge is coming down, nobody's on the barge, and it hit the east side of the Dauphin Island Bridge up towards the Cedar Point side, so on the north side of the bridge. And that's what started the whole process of having the town of Dauphin Island get word of it. They told ALDOT, because it's their bridge, they had to come down and inspect above water, and then I think they put divers down to inspect it underwater, then cleared, and by the time we came on the air today, they had gotten the Dauphin Island Bridge open north and southbound. So there's the story. I know there were a lot of questions, and listen, I'm with you. I was getting bits and pieces of information. This person said that. This person said the other thing. But it was good to get the actual word from the mayor about that. So Dauphin Island back open for coming and going for the weekend. So hopefully if you're wanting to go on the island, that's good news. You can go get on the island. If you're wanting to come up and go to some Mardi Gras and points north, you can do that as well. All right, so there's a news update. Now, the polling, I want to quickly run through this, and this is something we'll talk about next week, I'm sure, a good bit. But some new polling out from our news partners at WKRG, and this polling in the AL1 Republican primary. Okay, and this is the freshest polling. Now, remember, this always shifts back and forth. This poll says this, this poll says that. But what are we looking for? What's newest out there in the polling? And right now, this is the freshest poll when it deals with the AL1 race to take the seat being vacated by Congressman Bradley Byrne, who's running for Senate. The last poll we had seen on the Republican primary side had Bill Hightower leading. And that was a poll that's probably about a month, I think, old. Somebody might correct me on that. Maybe 5 weeks old, that had Bill Hightower leading. The new poll that came out from WKRG and Strategy polling 2,000 likely primary voters, has Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, leading in that. And it goes Carl, Hightower, and then Pringle. Now, this is the first time, I think, Dalton, I think this is the first poll to show that lineup there. If you're gonna be leading a poll, obviously you want to lead a poll going into Super Tuesday, which is coming up a week from Tuesday. But yeah, that has been a change that has been, I guess we've had one, two, like real polls. I'm not talking about internal, like real polls. We've had four polls in the AL1 House race, and this is the first time I think the lineup's come out this way. No, I'm sorry. I think early on there's a poll that said this, but this is the first in three polls to come out and say Jerry Carl, first place, Bill Hightower, second, Chris Pringle, third. So something to watch there. We got that story up on our Twitter feed. You can check us out at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. All right, coming back, Ed Browen joins us, and we're rolling on this Mardi Gras Friday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio. Welcome back.
Thanks, Sean. Good to be here.
Hey, and Happy New Year to you.
You as well.
We were just talking about this last time you were in. We were talking about the Christmas holiday and New Year's holiday and people out driving impaired. You warned them, number one, not to do it because it could hurt somebody. Number two, when you hurt somebody out there, you're coming after them.
So that's what we do at our firm is, you know, just like I did in the Marine Corps with attention to detail and just an aggressive pursuit of whatever we're doing, we certainly do that in our firm. We pay attention to small, minute details, and we're going to find out what you're doing. So if you have a driver out there that was doing the wrong thing, whether they were drinking and driving, they were hauling tail, going way faster than they should have, they were texting and driving, through technology, we do this at our firm. It can be expensive to do, but it can be invaluable to prove our client's case, and we do it almost every time if we have the chance. And the two things that we do are we can download the computer that is on board a car. It's called the EDR, or electronic data recorder, and that'll tell everything the car was doing, the speed, the braking, whether it was turning, the blinkers, all that for 60 seconds before the wreck. We can download every single thing you were doing on your cell phone, all your texts. We can see what screens you were on, if you were magnifying a screen, you know, how long you were on certain screens. And even if you delete that screen or delete those text messages or try to delete it, we can find it. You can't hide it on a computer. It's really amazing what you can do. So if I can get a hold of a case quick enough, you know, before this evidence is lost, then I can pretty much just hammer the other side with these two forms of evidence, you know, of gathering evidence technology standpoint.
So, I mean, y'all aren't just well-versed in the law and how it works. Y'all are kind of on the tech side here. I mean, you've got people at Taylor Martino that are figuring out stuff, decoding what is out there, because there's a lot of people that could be hitting a wreck or something, and the person hits, well, I wasn't speeding, I wasn't distracted, I wasn't texting.
Sure. Well, I mean, the first part of what we do is primarily, you know, investigative, you know, from a law enforcement type standpoint. Now, we don't have, you know, everything that law enforcement has. You know, we, you know, just like you and I, when we go hunting, we don't have everything the military has.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but we have a lot of things, and we're getting more and more things. You know, the ability to find out exactly what a car was doing for 60 seconds, and the ability to find out everything you were doing on your cell phone. Can you imagine, you know, if you do something wrong, okay, and we have that data. I know what you're doing on your cell phone. I know exactly what you were doing in your car, how fast you were going, when you braked, whether you put on a blinker, all of those things. You're going to be in trouble, okay, when you come up against my firm.
Things that make y'all different is that attention to detail. You've talked about it before, but I've always thought about it in attention to detail in a meeting with you in your office or something like that. But it's kind of forensic attention to detail as well.
These things take time. They take money. But when you're talking about representing a client well, if you have a resource out there, you should use it. And I don't think a lot of firms do the things that we do. And the case can be won or lost in that first couple of weeks when you get it. So when you first get a case, you have to just take off like a racehorse, get all the information that you can, and that's what we do. We pursue it with a passion. We pursue it with diligence. And, you know, we just, it's fun, really, finding out what people did. I want to find out what they did. And I really relish in that. My whole firm does.
Well, the fact that y'all are doing this and have done it, it gives me extra confidence in the fact that y'all are pretty good at finding this stuff. It's not your first rodeo when you go to look at this information.
No, so what's going to happen is if you come into my office, and then if we have a suspicion that, you know, there was speeding or anything that the other driver did that we want to hammer down, we want to find out about, if there's a suspicion about any type of cell phone use, and we've done this long enough to where I know if that's is something that we need to look at, we're going to immediately send a letter to the at-fault party, and that at-fault party is going to get a professional but stern and probably a little scary letter from me saying, okay, do not destroy any evidence. We're going to download the data from your car, and we're going to download all the data from your cell phone, so you better keep that. And if you don't, and then we'll find out about obviously.
What if somebody just takes your cell phone and starts deleting where they were texting or something like that?
We can find out that you deleted it. We can find out that there was a text, and we can find out that when you deleted it. So if you deleted it after I send that letter, okay, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start deleting everything.
Yeah.
When we get into a court of law, the judge is going to hammer you for doing that. What he's going to do is he's going to tell a jury that the jury should assume whatever was on that phone that was deleted or whatever evidence was destroyed, the jury should assume that it was as bad as it could be against the other side. And that's
not even y'all. That's a judge telling the jury that.
A judge is going to tell them that. And I don't like, I wouldn't want to represent a person who the other side has proven that party has destroyed evidence. It's a really embarrassing thing. But when it happens to my client, basically, you know, they've done something wrong, and now they're lying about it.
Yeah.
My mercy is waning at that point.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can have some mercy when a person, you know, comes clean and mm-hmm. says, I did this. But when they did something wrong, and I know they've done something wrong, and then they lie about it and they try to hide about it, that gets my dander up a little bit. And, you know, I'm still professional all the time, but I get really, really motivated to go after that person.
You're probably bringing in people's ears right now that said, hey, you know what, I was in a wreck that time, and the guy was completely lying about what happened.
Well, and you know, human beings, really, they do. You know, I'm telling you, they think that people are going to be good. They think everything's going to work out, it's going to be okay. But I can tell you that a lot of times I get cases that are 3 months old, 6 months old, the first time that they come to a lawyer, because they don't like coming to a plaintiff's lawyer, right, like myself. It's, you know, I'm not like that. My morals and my faith isn't like that. So they say, you know, I've waited. And a lot of times evidence can be lost. And so that's tragic. But you can think it's going to be okay. But if you don't protect yourself, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
So God forbid this ever happens, but if it does and we're in that situation, the earlier we contact you, the better chance you have of getting all this information you just laid out, kind of forensic stuff.
Sure. It's just like if you think the police would be very effective if they investigated a homicide a month after it happened.
Right.
No, as soon as it happens, they're there on the scene right afterwards, because they've got to gather certain evidence. I mean, it's, you know, a criminal case and a civil case. I mean, they're still cases, you know, in a court of law, and you've got to gather evidence. So the sooner, the quicker we can gather evidence, you know, the more likely that we can find the truth, because that's what really a practice of law and, you know, is about, finding the truth. You know, the word verdict means to speak the truth. And I believe in that. I know that sounds corny, but I do.
That's,
I believe in it.
It's a good thing. It doesn't surprise me about you and the attention to detail you laid out how y'all do this. This is awesome. Tell folks, Ed, how they get in touch with you, because you know what? If they're in that situation or know somebody in that situation, how do they make sure they get in touch with you quickly?
So you could just Google my law firm, Taylor Martino Law Firm, Mobile, Alabama, and you'll find our website, all of our information. You can get in touch with me that way.
All right. So you're out having Mardi Gras fun. Remember, what you do is going to be of record, and this man right here, Ed Rowan, will find you out. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.